Good morning. Before I begin my message this morning, I have to apologize because I could not wait to get out to the car to say what must be said. I was just thinking to myself, and I was talking to Andrea, that I just have to say, as a father, I am absolutely brimming with pride to see my two godly men up here serving the congregation. And I wanted to take a minute to make sure that they know how incredibly proud of them I am. And I also wanted to take a moment to stretch that to Clayton and James, and I'm sure all of the other fathers and mothers, that when you see your young men up here serving and providing for the needs of the congregation and serving the Lord with all of their hearts, that truly, I hope you feel what I feel when I see my two boys up here. And that is the pride that a father is supposed to have for his children. So let's talk about, amen, absolutely amen, yeah. So let's talk about our father. Let's talk about our father. I deeply appreciate Christian reading the passage this morning in Ephesians chapter 1. And before we begin this morning's message, I wanted to kind of take a little bit of an aside. When we were in California, Andrea and I and the boys often attended different congregations in California, varying on where we were living at the time. And they did things a little bit differently than we do here, that they had a singular minister, a one person that was in charge of the ministry of the congregation. And there were many times when I found myself as that person. There were a couple of congregations that Andrea and I went and worked with together. And they were I was the singular minister for that congregation. And in one of those congregations, I was asked to come up with a curriculum that would be used for Bible classes for new converts. And I thought that since, and of course I was also requested this by a couple of people, but I thought that since we have had a number of new converts in the last few weeks, that it would be good to get back to what I call the foundations of faith. And of course, lesson one that I used to teach people in the class was a lesson about spiritual blessings. And I will tell you that this lesson is going to be heavily scripture involved. There's going to be a lot more reading than listening to Jason's voice here. So I'm going to ask you, as you have the handout in front of you, and if you didn't get one, by the way, Trevor has a couple more left, but I'm going to ask you to please turn with me, and we want to look at these scriptures together, one by one, as I did in that Bible class with those new converts, because it's very, very important that when we are studying with new converts, that we do not come out with any traditional or conventional knowledge, but that we sit down and we study the Bible and we examine the scriptures as they are intended to be. I'm going to read the passage again that Christian read, but I'm going to read it with a specific emphasis on, I want you to pick out and notice what those blessings are. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all, according to his, in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. One of the things that I often do with folks before they decide to get baptized, before they have chosen to accept the word of the Lord and be baptized in the waters of baptism, is I often discuss with people, not just are you prepared, what are you preparing for, but I think that it's also important to recognize, what do we get from it? What are the amazing, wonderful blessings that we acquire when we rise from those waters of baptism? And so part one of the curriculum is that I discuss with the new converts these nine specific blessings. If you were paying attention, notice that there were nine specific blessings that were to be drawn from that passage. Number one, being chosen before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame before him in love. Being chosen. Now, I know that I'm a giant now, but I'm going to tell you right now, back in the day, I was not exactly as tall as I am now, but I was as large as I am now. And when it came to sports like basketball and baseball and football and things like that, I knew what it was like to not be chosen. And so imagine that. God chose us. When we choose him, he chose us. What an amazing thing that is. The adoption of sons and daughters to himself. We are adopted into the family of God. We have acceptance in the beloved, and it's to the praise and glory of his grace, which is an amazing thing in and of itself. We have redemption through his blood. We have forgiveness of sins according again to the riches of his grace. He abounds toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Another word for prudence is, of course, knowledge or will. And then we keep building and getting better and better. He makes known to us the mystery of his will. The purpose of gathering together in one all things in Christ, both on heaven, in heaven and on earth. And of course, the last one, we obtain an inheritance. These nine blessings are certainly a reason to go about our daily lives saying amen everywhere we go. Because when we think about, as we rise from the waters of baptism, all of the amazing, amazing things that we have, nine specific here, and of course this is not all-encompassing, but nine specific here, I can't tell you of another reason to go about every single day singing as I go. So let's open the Bible and let's talk about these nine specific blessings. And let's start here with we are chosen. Again, what an amazing feeling to be chosen. Turn me to James chapter 2, verse 5. Of course, you have the handout in front of you, so I'm not going to be offended at all if I hear pages turning as I'm reading. That's not a problem at all. James chapter 2, verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of the world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? God hath chosen us. John chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. John 1, 12 through 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. As many as received him, we are chosen. That is absolutely amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Think about those passages. Think about what that's like. To be on the outside, and there are 8.1 billion people out there in the world. I often say this a lot, but there are 8.1 billion people out there in the world, and there's a lot of people who are on the outside. And think about the difference between what it feels like to be on the outside, but to know that you've been chosen to be on the inside. God wants us to be a part of His family. God wants us to be a part of all of these wonderful blessings. This sets the tone for the rest of these eight blessings that we talk about. I want to call out a couple of points in that particular scripture. One of the points I want to call out is, in time past, we're not a people, but are now the people. Think about that. In time past, there were not a people, but now there are a people. And in time past, they had not obtained mercy, but now obtain mercy. That is certainly a reason to go about every single day of my life singing praises to Him. How about blessing number two? We are now walking a new life as adopted sons and daughters of God. That's amazing in and of itself. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Romans 6, 4. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We have a new life. You know, one of the most powerful things that I think I've been able to tell people when I'm talking to people about becoming a Christian is to actually bring that into a metaphor. Think about if you had the ability today with all of the whatever it is, you know, 25 years old, 30 years old, 40 years old, whatever. If you had the ability in that moment to take all of the terrible, horrible things that either you had done in your life or that had been done to you, and to go back and become an infant again, to start life brand new, what would you be willing to give up to be able to do that? Sometimes people who are in pain and have had trauma, they look at things like that and they go, absolutely, I would give everything. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. We are all, when we rise from the waters of baptism, we all put on Christ, and then we are all one. We are all part of one family, and we are all one people. 1 John 3, 1 through 3. 1 John 3, 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I mean, just stop there for a minute. There should be an exclamation point there. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What an amazing statement. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. We are supposed to have this hope inside of us at all times. That one day we are going to see him appear, and then we're going to be just like he is now. We're going to have glorious heavenly bodies. But we'll get to that in a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. What an amazing metaphor this is. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Just like a newborn infant. We desire the milk of the word, that we are able to take it in, and it is nourishing. And it is fulfilling and it is satisfying to us. I'm going to combine the next few blessings. We have acceptance, redemption, and forgiveness of sins. Acceptance, redemption, and forgiveness of sins. I'm going to stop there for a minute because I'm going to tell you, I work with people every single day in my private practice where that word acceptance is a word I hear a lot. People desire to feel accepted, either by their spouses or by their children or by their social circle. But we have acceptance. We have redemption and we have forgiveness of sins. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Notice the possessive form of this word. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Again, we have it. That's from our passage. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We have acceptance and redemption and forgiveness of sins. Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. Colossians 1, 11 through 14. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And listen to this part. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We've been delivered. Delivered, just like the Israelites. We've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated, and I love how the King James puts that word in there. That word translated, it means to be taken from one place and put into another. Translated. We've been taken from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his Son. What an amazing, amazing blessing that is. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. 1 John 1, 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So there's two things there. Number one, we have the ability, the pleasure, the amazing, glorious blessing of being able to be here today to assemble, to fellowship with one another, to see each other's smiling faces, and not just to know that it's another person that we meet on the street or somebody that we would just want to shake hands with, but we're brothers and sisters. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. Isaiah 43, verse 25. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Isaiah 43, 25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. And of course, in the context, Isaiah was talking about the coming of the church. He was talking about how Israel was to turn back to him, and that these things would be prophesied and foretold, and they would come to pass. But even in the proper context of Isaiah and what Isaiah was talking about, that still applies to us today. That God is the one, and I love how the King James again puts that, I am. Of course, we know that when you look at that in the original language, is how God says his name. Basically, he's saying, I, God, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. We have forgiveness. We have redemption. Colossians 2, 12 through 14. Colossians 2, 12 through 14. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. I once heard a metaphor there. When I was very young, I heard a metaphor from one of the Bible class teachers of this judge at a podium. And this judge has a large book. And back then, of course, they wrote in pen and quill and ink. And this judge has this large book, and it had everything that I've ever done as a human being, everything that I have done or thought or said, and it was all written down. And as the teacher continued the metaphor, the idea was that all of a sudden along comes this big surge of water, whoosh, and washes across the book. And in that moment, all of the ink in that book just goes completely away. And the judge closes the book and says, well, the pages are blank. That is the amazing gift of mercy and grace. That is the amazing gift that Paul writes to the church in Colossae here. The handwriting of ordinances that was against us and was contrary to us has been blotted away. How absolutely amazing is that? The next blessing is he gives us wisdom and knowledge. Of course, the King James says he abounds toward us in all wisdom and prudence. But he gives to us wisdom and knowledge abundantly. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. Proverbs 2, 6 through 7. The Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He is a buckler, a shield to them that walk uprightly. And that shield is a shield, as we know, of faith. And that faith, a portion of that faith comes from knowledge and wisdom. And when we ask the Lord, he gives wisdom. It's amazing. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9. Colossians 1, 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We have all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This isn't on the handout, but Peter also said that we are given all things that pertain to life and godliness. And all we have to do is pick it up and read it. And we have all wisdom. and prudence in our lives. What an amazing, amazing blessing that is. Again, I'm going to combine a couple of the blessings here. But we are partakers of the mystery, which is no longer a mystery. Of course, in context, back then it was a mystery because it had not been revealed yet. People still had to use the blood of bulls and goats. And it was a mystery as to how can mankind be saved? How can mankind actystually have a relationship with God? But it's no longer a mystery because He has revealed it to us. This mystery directly pertains to the 9th and 10th blessing on our list. And if you don't remember that, those were the gathering together and the inheritance we are promised to obtain. And I just realized I probably should have done a handout with the listing of the blessings. Romans chapter 16, verses 25 through 26. Romans 16, 25 through 26. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. That mystery is now made manifest. That word manifest means it's easy to see. When we open our spiritual eyes and we accept the Lord in baptism, we go down into the water, we rise back up to live a newness of life, it is made manifest. Absolutely amazing. Colossians 1, 25 through 28. Colossians 1, 25 through 28. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, complete, in Christ Jesus. The dispensation. Again, that's one of those large words that we often read in the Bible, but the dispensation. The word dispensation means that if I had a whole bunch of money or food, and I was just to go to every single one of you and just start distributing it, everything I have, I'm just going to give it to every single one of you until there's nothing left. God does that for us. And what He is dispensing is salvation. What He's dispensing is His word, His will, His grace, His mercy, and all of these other blessings as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 52. This one always brings a smile to my face. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 52. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And remember, we had just talked about the scripture that says that we shall see Him as He is, and then we will be like Him as He is. This is the amazing promise that is available when we decide to believe and obey the Word of God, entering into the waters of baptism, having repented of our sins and confessed His name out loud. This is the amazing blessing that still awaits for us. A lot of these blessings are accessible to us right now as we live out our lives. But there are still, that's the amazing thing, there are still amazing blessings waiting for us at the end of our physical lives. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 through 4. Revelation 21, 3 through 4, we recognize that there is a certain amount of metaphoric quality to this. But we can still take the metaphoric quality and recognize it as it's speaking about the church, and it's speaking about the church being raised into heaven. Listen to this, these words that John says. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So again, what an amazing blessing. When we are buried with him in baptism, the former things are passed away because we put to death that old man of sin and guile. And then we rise to walk a new life. But then when we get to the end of this life, whether that be because Christ comes or because we pass away from this physical tabernacle, again, one day the former things will be passed away. What an amazing blessing that God has given to us. Let's wrap up the lesson and bring it to a close. As we read these scriptures, and that's why I give handouts, by the way, because the handouts are not just designed for one specific Sunday. Take these with you, especially if you are a new convert or somebody that's only been a convert for a while. Take these with you and reflect on them. Put these scriptures in your heart. I have many, many places in my Bible, not just for studying purposes, but also for my own purposes, where these scriptures are highlighted and underlined. Do that. Highlight and underline these scriptures and take them with you in your heart, wherever you go, because they are the promises, they are the glory of not just what is accessible to us now, but also what is to come. And that is a reason why all of us should go about our days singing and praising God. When we decide to put on Christ in baptism, we receive a great number of spiritual blessings. 9 for this lesson. But of course, this lesson was not all-encompassing. There is more to be discussed, of course, specifically, and this was in further curriculums that I developed, specifically about the intervention of the Holy Spirit and how that is a blessing. How the Holy Spirit being in our lives now guides us into all truth, and we have his intervention in our lives. And maybe that's a subject for another lesson. But it again is another amazing blessing of what it means to be in the family of God. I often do an activity with my couples in sessions where I have them kind of do a recognition of who they are in Christ. And then one of the things that I say to them is that we are not just the identity of, you know, what's on the board, these words that I have them do in Christ, but that makes us precious princes and princesses. And I love seeing people's faces light up when they think about themselves as princes of the kingdom or princesses of the kingdom. Not a lot of people think about that. Again, another reason to go about my day singing and praising him as I go. As we bring this lesson to a close, if you've been studying the scriptures this morning, if you've been following along in the handout, and if you've recognized all of these, just 9 for this lesson, but all of these amazing blessings that we have available to us, and you're thinking to yourself, well, I want to be on that side of the fence too. Again, as I often do, I give you the words of Ananias to Paul before he became Paul. Why tarriest thou? What are you waiting for? if you want to be on the winning team, so to speak, if you want to be able to have access to these blessings, what are you waiting for? The time is now. As we stand and sing the song that Michael has selected, think about those blessings and how you want to access them by coming forward and asking to be baptized. Michael?